The text for this morning's sermon is from the first scripture reading, Psalm 25, and specifically then the verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 25, I'll read those once again. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, before we focus on the verses which form the text of the sermon, I want to say something about the whole psalm for just a few moments, and then specifically I want to just say something to you about its structure. Psalm 25 is one of the 9 acrostic psalms in the book of Psalms. The psalms were written using the Hebrew alphabet as their guide. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters, not 26, as we do in English, but 22 letters. So this is an acrostic using the letters in order. The first verse starts with the first letter, the second verse starts with the second letter, the third with the third, and all the way through, and you get 22 verses all the way through the whole alphabet. So it would be like you writing a poem, and perhaps you have done this on some occasion, perhaps some of the children at school have done something like this. It would be like you writing a poem where the first line starts with A, the second line with B, the second line with third line with C, all the way through until you get to X, Y, and Z. Now, although Psalm 25 is an acrostic, and as I said, one of the 9 acrostic psalms that we have in the book of Psalms, there is something peculiar about it. And that peculiarity is that 2 of the letters are missing, whereas 2 of them are repeated, are used twice. So in several ways, this acrostic poem is broken. You could say there's something wrong with it. Now, nothing in Scripture is accidental. We have a very high view of Scripture. We believe that Scripture is the infallible, sometimes we say inerrant, Word of God. King David was a human author. Now, if King David wrote it this way, the way we have it, it was the way that the Holy Spirit, who inspired David to write it, meant for it to come to us. The Holy Spirit meant for it, and you could say King David, under the superintendence of the Holy Spirit, intended it to come in this way, that when you read it, if you could read it in Hebrew, you would say, hey, there's something wrong with it. There's 2 letters missing. And 2 letters are used twice. So what are we to think of that? In the psalm, speaking now yet generally about the psalm for a moment, in the psalm, King David addresses a number of themes. In it, he worships the Lord. He prays that the Lord would defend him against the attacks of his enemies. He, a number of times, comes back to the theme of asking the Lord to guide him in the right way, the right path. He repents of his sin. He comes back to that a number of times, repenting of his sin, asking for forgiveness. He asks the Lord to wash away, to not remember his sins. And he asks God to be near to him. Evidently feels very far away. He asks God to be near to him, to comfort him in his trouble and in his loneliness. So what is King David praying for by going to all these different parts, safety, forgiveness, guidance? What is he doing? He's asking God for order. Order in his mixed up life. His life is broken. He's being hounded by his enemies. He's haunted by his sins. He's wondering how he ought to live. So he's asking for order. So the broken pattern of the imperfect acrostic, this acrostic, you would say, at a human level, which has some mistakes in it, the broken pattern of the imperfect acrostic reflects the way troubles have a way of entering the pattern of life itself. Life has a pattern. Your life has a pattern. Each of our lives has a pattern. But life is so fragile, and that pattern is so easily broken. Broken by illness, shattered by sin, hurt by loneliness, damaged by injury. The nice and neat ABC design of our lives ends up being a wreck, or at least dented and misshapen. You know how it is. Perhaps from the outside, your life looks perfect. Your life looks well and good. When people look at your life, they go, wow, looks like he's got everything together. Looks like she's really knows what she's doing. She's got everything together. But you know otherwise. You know what burdens you are bearing. Perhaps no one knows, or only a few people know, but you know about your struggles, your pain, your worries, your loneliness, your sin. You know about that. I know about mine. Reading this psalm carefully, or using the words of the psalm as a prayer, can be very helpful to us. To help us in our struggles. To help us in our sadness. To help us in our disappointments, our worries, and our fears. God created this life very good, but it is broken. Broken because, at the end of the day, because of sin. But, loved ones, there is a Savior. There is a Savior, Jesus Christ. And He is a righteous one. And He makes things well. He makes things well again. You know that. Well, let us now zero in on the verses 6 and 7. In these verses, King David prays for God's forgiving mercy. He asks the Lord to remember some things and not to remember other things. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about. The things that that King David asks the Lord to remember, and the things that King David asks the Lord not to remember. So first of all, he asks the Lord to remember his mercy and love. That's in verse 6. And then in verse 7, the first part of verse 7, he asks him not to remember his sins and transgressions. And then in the second part of verse 7, 7b, just to remember him. So that's what we're going to speak about this morning. We're going to look at these three things. The Lord, that David asks the Lord to remember his mercy, not to remember King David's sins, and just to remember King David. So first of all, King David prays that the Lord would remember his mercy and his steadfast love. For, as he says, they have ever been of old. from of old. Beautiful words are used here. David asks God to remember his mercy. Some translations have the adjective tender. It's tender mercy. Remember your tender mercy. And that's good to speak about tender mercy. It gets the idea across. For the word for mercy used here is related to the word for a woman's, a mother's womb. Essentially, it's the same root word, the Hebrew word for womb. As a mother's womb encircles her unborn child, and as a mother naturally has love for her unborn child, so David, King David, asks the Lord to look upon him with that kind of love, that kind of tender mercy. And as a mother has feelings of love and tenderness flowing to her child, so King David asks for feelings of love and tenderness to flow from God towards him. If a child is hurt, what does the child do? Whom does a child want when a child is hurt? A child wants her mother. And a mother's heart yearns and opens wide for her hurting child. Soldiers injured on the battlefield and ending up at death's door often call out, I'm told, for their mothers. So David, in a similar way, David calls out for his God. Now let me pause here and ask you, what do you do when you're suffering, when you're hurting, when you're ill, when you're diagnosed with a serious, a life-threatening illness or a life-altering disease? What do? You may, and I urge you, you may call upon the Lord. You need not fear to do so, for he has tender mercy for you, feelings of tenderness for you. When the neat pattern of your life blows wide open, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can call upon the Lord for help. And then King David also asks the Lord to remember his steadfast love. A special word is used here, a beautiful word, a Hebrew word just filled with context. This word is specifically used, is often used in the context of describing God's special covenant love for his people. His love for his covenant people. The people with whom he has a relationship of love. Who are those people? We are of those people. There's more, of course, than just us, but we are of those people. He has love for us, for you. He has love for you together as a congregation. And he has love for each one of you individually and personally. Bask in that love. I know it's getting cooler nowadays, but think back to a warm, sunny day, and you just bask in the sunshine. And if we get a warm day, when it's cold, then we bask in the sunshine. Well, in a similar way, you may bask in the sunshine of the love, the covenant love of God for you. Rest in his love. You see how King David called upon God as, O Lord. Lord with four capital letters in our English translation. That's the special covenant name of God, which God revealed when he at the burning bush, in his revelation to the burning bush, he said, I am. And that's translated with Lord, usually. There God, there at the burning bush, God revealed himself to Moses and through Moses to the people suffering in Egypt, the people of God, as the covenant love of God. Brothers and sisters, our God is like no other God. Our God is not an impassive, cold, unmovable block of stone or what have you, or some sort of essence. No, God is love, and he's loving towards you. Or God is not like, much less as God, like those gods who demanded the sacrifice of the firstborn child. No, God is full of love, mercy, and steadfast love for you, his people. Now, King David, as he goes on, he says that there is a solid reason for his prayer. He says at the end of verse 6, for, purpose, for they have been from of old. Now, he could have said that he was praying for tender mercy and steadfast love, which have ever been of old. And he would have been saying something absolutely true. The tender mercy of and steadfast love of God have been from of old. But that's not quite what he said. He added the word for, or since, or because. They have been from of old. David asks God to deal with him in tender mercy and steadfast love because that is who God is. That's the way he has always been. That's what he is like. From of old. Since God sought out Adam and Eve and said, where are you? In the garden. Since Noah and his family. Since he delivered Noah and his family. Since Abram and Sarah. Since the children of Israel. Throughout the ages, the Lord has acted tenderly and lovingly with his people. Now perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, Pastor, you don't know me, and you're absolutely right. I don't know you. I know a few of you. But how well do I know you? Perhaps you're saying, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. Because I'm not feeling much love right now. You don't know the troubles I've seen. You don't know the troubles I'm in. Well, listen, I can't explain your troubles. I can't explain why God is leading you along dark and scary paths, if he is. But I can tell you about a child of God named Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who had some sort of disability. What exactly it was, we don't know what it was, but he speaks about it in 2 Corinthians 12. He says that three times he stopped everything. And he asked the Lord to deliver him, to take it away. And what was Jesus' answer? He's praying to Jesus here. Jesus says, no, Paul, you need to learn something. You need to learn that my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough. And that's what we all need to learn, loved ones. We all need to learn that God's grace is enough. Secondly, King David asked the Lord not to remember the sins of his youth. You see the order of things here. First, he speaks of God's tenderness and love, which have ever been from of old, for as long as he has had a people, which goes all the way back to our first parents. God has always been a forgiving God. He had Moses set up a whole system of sacrifices and offerings, festivals, and holy days by which the people, the children of Israel, could approach the Lord without fear, without trembling, without fear like the heathens had fear for their gods, but with joy and celebration, knowing that their God was a forgiving God, and after having established that once again, after having established God's long-standing history of tender mercy, he now asks that he may participate in that mercy and love by having his own sins and transgressions forgiven. Loved ones, you can pray this as well. Lord, may I experience your tender and forgiving love and mercy because they have ever been from of old. That's who you are. It's there available for you all. God will never say to you, oh, sorry, all my love and mercy have been used up. The bank is empty. He'll never say that to you. His love and mercy are limitless. His love and mercy know no boundaries. God's treasure chest of mercy is never depleted. Pray for the Lord to forgive your sins, loved ones. He will. King David speaks here about the sins of youth, the sins of a young man, even covenant youth, commit terrible sins. If I think back to my own youth when I was a young man, then I can only blush with shame as I seek the Lord today. But the Lord forgives also those sins. You may, young people, let me address the young people. You may address the Lord and ask God to forgive the sins you commit, the foolish sins you do. Now, this is not to put anyone on easy street so that you will say, well, this is really handy. I can do what I want. I can sin to my heart's content because the Lord will forgive me. Or I will wait until I'm old to get right with the Lord. No, that is presuming upon the love and mercy of God. And presuming upon the Lord is always a dangerous thing to do. No, young people, be rather like that sinful woman who anointed the Lord's head with oil in Luke chapter 7. You can read the story. And people began to criticize the woman for doing what she did. And the Lord said, leave her alone. She's doing a beautiful thing. Because she has been forgiven much, therefore she loves much. And that's the attitude we need to have as well. We who have been forgiven much will love much. Go to Jesus, young people and old people. He will forgive your sins, and then off your knees and serve the Lord with love for him and in obedience. You know, dwelling yet a moment upon sins of youth can really haunt us. I was once visiting an old man, well into his 90s, in the hospital. I was a fairly recently minted pastor in my very early 30s. So this man, being in his 90s, seemed very old to me. Absolutely ancient. This man knew he was dying. And through his tears, he began to tell me about all manner of sin he had done. And I thought, how can that be? He's such an old man. How can he have done those things? He's so old. But then it dawned on me that he was speaking about things he had done 75 and 80 years earlier. He was haunted by those sins. Well, what could that young pastor do but open Psalm 25 and say, brother, listen to this prayer and make it your own. Lord, sins of youth, remember not. Loved ones, don't be haunted by your sins. Rather, ask God to forgive them. Sins of youth, sins of middle age, sins of old age. Plead upon the tender mercy and steadfast love of the Lord. He will forgive you. Lastly, King David asks God simply to remember him. He says, according to your steadfast love, remember me. Lord, don't remember my sins. Don't remember them, but don't forget me. Don't remember my sins, but don't forget me. Remember me, the one whom you have drawn into your covenant circle. God is no distant judge. Rather, he is our covenant God who draws us into his friendship. There are many places in Scripture where we are told to remember. We're to remember the Lord. We're to remember his great deeds of salvation. The people of God in the Old Testament were called to remember the Lord. There was the Passover festival by which they were to remember the Lord and what he had done for them. The children of Israel were told to set up memorial stones a number of times when the Lord, under the leadership of Moses, brought them through the Jordan River. Then they had to take 12 stones representing the 12 tribes. They had to make a memorial on the banks of the Jordan River so that any time a family walked by there, then the children should ask their parents, "Lord, father, mother, what are these stones all about?" And the parents would have to tell them. There were the festivals, all sorts of ceremonies, all sorts of ways in which things which would help the people of God to remember the Lord. And today as well, we have our memorials, we have the sacraments to help us remember baptism, Lord's Supper, to remember what God has done for us in Christ and through his sacrifice on the cross. And one of the weekly tasks of a minister is to remind the congregation of what Jesus has done for his people. So there are many times in which we are to remember the Lord, but here we are taught to ask the Lord to remember us. We are asked, Lord, you remember. Remember me. Remember me, Lord. According to your steadfast love, your covenant love, remember me. There is someone else who asked the Lord to remember him. The one criminal on the cross that we read about earlier in the service. Jesus was crucified between two criminals, and the one railed at him. Are you not the Messiah? If you are the Messiah, if you are, save yourself and us. That's what the one criminal on the one side was saying. But the other criminal told him to keep quiet, to be quiet, since Jesus had done nothing wrong, whereas they were receiving the due payment for their crimes. And after reprimanding that other criminal, he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. That's the same as what King David prayed. Remember me. And that's what you can pray. Jesus, remember me. Don't forget about me. You won't. Jesus won't. See how he answered the criminal. Today you will be with me in paradise. That's what he said to the criminal. That's what he'll say to you. And that's where the criminal now is. In paradise with Jesus. That's where King David is. That's where you will be. That's where you will go. When the Lord takes you home to that better country. Confess your sins like the criminal did. Confess your sins like King David did. And you may be assured that there is a place waiting for you in paradise. David prays for this for the sake of the Lord's goodness. Beloved, God is good, and He has shown His goodness throughout the ages. When the time had fully come, He showed the full, resplendent glory of His goodness, of His steadfast love, and of His tender mercy by giving us His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. That is the deepest expression of God's love for you. So you can pray these things, loved ones. If you're lost for words, just pray this psalm. Or sing or read the psalm as we have it put to verse in our songbooks. When the pattern of life is broken, when life is a mess, when you are at the end of your wits, and you don't know which way to turn anymore, ask Him to remember you. You, a sinner. You, someone haunted by the sins of youth. Or a troubled person. Or a disabled brother or sister. Someone fighting a frightening disease. You, someone experiencing marriage breakdown or family breakdown. You, recovering from an injury. Lord, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, for the sake of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done for me. Remember me, O Lord. Remember me. Amen.